Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your 2018 AEN Ordination Candidacy Preparation. Today is June 14th. We are well into our phone conferences, and we had asked for the gentleman from last week to start us out in prayer, and I am currently putting everyone on speaker. So I ask that you put your phones on mute unless you are prepared to join the conversation. Otherwise, we do get the background information. So as I put the phones on speaker, we do ask that one of our male candidates, the awesome men of God, will take us to the throne of God. If you start to pray and you don't hear yourself, I haven't gotten down there for all the lists. However, we're almost finished with opening up all of the lines. So one of our awesome men of God can start us off in prayer.
All right, this is Pastor Joseph Bibbins.
Amen. Amen, sir.
All right, we're going to open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come before your throne. Father God, your word says in Hebrews 4:16 to let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find favor in our time of need. So, Lord, we humbly, boldly come before your throne. We lift you up. We give you thanksgiving. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor for all that is going to go forth tonight. We thank you for this powerful prayer call, this call that we are on today, as we continue to share ideas, as we continue to uplift each other, because your word says iron sharpens iron. We thank you for Overseer Paulette, who will facilitate this. And, Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your clarification, your understanding. We thank you, Lord, that your presence will be heard, your presence will be seen through everything that we do on this call tonight. And we just lift you up. We give you glory and we give you honor and praise. And we declare and decree that your presence will get glory, bring glory and honor to everything that we do tonight. And we speak these things by faith and count them done by faith in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. We're going to start today's session off with some of housekeeping. So Elder Sharita is going to come in a moment to share some information with you as it relates to the conference and different aspects of the conference, schedule, and that sort of thing. And I didn't want to ask anyone if it's my desire that you have all completed your gift assessment and your personality assessment and have sent it in. And most of you, I believe, have. But if you are having problems doing so, figuring it out or printing it out, the printout is very bad. And I do apologize for that. We will definitely in the next class have a better system of accountability as it relates to you doing your gift assessment. But please don't not do it. Let me know that you're experiencing some technical difficulties. It's understandable. It is correctable. I will make that correction, but just send your information to me if you are indeed having a problem with it. So we will start with Elder Sharita sharing some administrative information to us, and then we will go from there to she'll let us know who our presenters are for today, and we will go right into that. So Elder Sharita.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Just a reminder for those who have not registered yet for the conference, if you can please take the opportunity to register And then for everyone, the conference is Thursday, August 16th through Sunday, August 19th, 2018. It's going to be held at the Hyatt Regency Schaumburg, 1800 East Golf Road in Schaumburg, Illinois. The conference cost is $70 per person, and that does include one complimentary banquet ticket. And then for your guests that are coming, if they are not attending the conference, the banquet-only tickets are $40 per person. And then for those who have not reserved your hotel room, we are asking that you do that as soon as possible. The accommodations are $109 per night, and that does include a hot buffet breakfast. And you can make your reservations through the hotline link, which you have received through email. And you can also register, if you haven't, through Eventbrite. And as it relates to the schedule for the weekend for the candidates, on Thursday, August 16th, we are asking for the candidates to arrive at 8 o'clock. Which you'll be able to register at that time and check in through the registration. The first session will begin at 9 a.m., and that will go until noon. And then you will have a lunch break from 12 till about 1:30. And then your next sessions will start from 1:30 to 3:30, and then you'll have a break, and then everyone will convene for the evening worship service. And on Friday as well, the sessions will begin from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then you'll have a break between 12 and 1:30. Your sessions will start back up again from 1:30 to 3:30, and then your examination will begin at 4 o'clock, which will be administered by the ordination council. And then after your examination, you'll have a break, and evening worship will begin for everyone. And then on Saturday, August 18th, there's going to be an anointing service for the candidates only, which will begin at 10 a.m. And then we are asking for candidates to come dressed in all black during this service. This will be the time where you will receive the putting on of your clergy collar along with consecration prayer and anointing. And then at 11:45 a.m., it's going to be for the general public, and we're going to begin seating in the main auditorium. And then this is also a time where the candidates, you'll have your opportunity to greet and meet with your loved ones before the service begins. And then at 12:45, we'll begin the processional. And then we are asking for, which is actually mandatory for all candidates, you'll have an hour after the ordination service to take pictures in your Episcopal garments. And then the banquet will begin at 6:30 p.m. And then on Sunday, August 19th, there will be a worship service for everyone, which will begin at 10 a.m., and this will be facilitated by all of our newly ordained, consecrated, and elevated leaders. And so that's your schedule for the weekend. And then overseer, what else was I supposed to add? Was I supposed to add anything else?
No, I think that's very thorough. The invitation will go out this week. I think that is the only thing that we were waiting on, and so as they become approved, we will distribute them to the candidates, and they can make them their own by putting their names in it, and they can see the verbiage that needs to happen on the invitation. We appreciate Pastor Bethel and her awesome graphic anointing for some very, very nice and very well done invitations. Okay. So are there any questions concerning your upcoming conference, concerning what you need for it, what you're doing with it?
Over
your
here.
Family. Yeah.
Hi, this is Evangelist Jewel Cooper in Dallas, and
yes.
I have a question about the Sunday service.
Yes.
Is that service mandatory?
It is strongly encouraged. We do understand that people will be traveling. That's understood. We just want advance notice. Okay, and that way we can schedule things correctly. So if it's something that you're not going to be able to participate in, we just want to know ahead of time. And then you can just shoot me a email to let me know your availability or lack thereof for that Sunday morning service. We also have a baptism that Sunday morning, and we do want our pastors to be a part of that. Service, that our male pastors to actually be in the water for those services. And so if you're not going to be able to participate, we absolutely need to know ahead of time in advance. All right?
Yes.
Good question.
Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Oh.
Are there any
more
questions?
An overseer? Overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I did want to add about those candidates that are in the groups where the portfolios are due. They're actually
yes.
due on the second Saturday of July, which is July 14th. And you can either drop your portfolios at Bethany Union Church, which is 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60643, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., or you can mail your portfolio in to the P.O. Box, which is Labor to Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 2081, Matteson, Illinois, 60443. So you have two options to drop your portfolios off. And those are for those group candidates, and they know who they are.
Amen. Thank you. That was the other issue. God bless your memory. Praise the Lord. And so we do want to encourage you to remember that you should save a copy for yourself and bring it to the conference. Bring it to the conference, your copy of your portfolio. Are there any more questions?
I have a quick question. Will there be like a
sure.
final checklist sent out? Just to kind of make sure that, you know, our I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Elder Sherita, you want to answer that?
I'm sorry, I didn't even hear the question. I'm sorry.
She's asking, is there going to be a final checklist sent out? And you do have your schedule of what is due. and we can send out that schedule in an abbreviated form so that you can make sure you have it. We are tracking the individual information, and you will hear from us at the deadline by July, by July 7th. If your record does not indicate you have everything, you absolutely will hear from us. We are encouraging those that have projects. You know when your projects are due, or your project, or at least the time frame for your project should be turned in on June 30th. So, in other words, if your project is going to extend to the actual conference itself, June 30th, we should have definitely an outline, a working understanding, and something tangible so that we know where you are in preparing your presentation. So different ones have, particularly our group 2 M's, E's and M's, have different requirements. One is the portfolio, and then the other is the special project that they have due. If you're not sure if you have a special project, I will definitely send out a reminder to those, and they will be all of those that are group 2 E. All of the E have special projects. All right. Good questions. Any more questions, comments, concerns? Okay. So is do we have Elder Deborah on the line to introduce this next section of our meeting? Elder Deborah? I guess I should put everybody on speaker here. Or Prophet Mike? May I have one? Okay. Now, this is the part of our phone conference where we have our presentation. Elder Sherita, who are our presenters for the accountability partner element for today?
Okay, so this week's scriptural element presenters are Sister Brenda and Elder April Young on non-judgmental. And the scripture that they're coming from is Matthew 7, 1 through 2.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, you ladies, you're up. Elder Sherita, Elder Young?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. We have been assigned to Matthew 7, 1 through 2, which is the element of non-judgmental. I actually did 1 through 5 just, you know, for clarity purposes. I'm not going to read that scripture, but it is Matthew 7. 1 and 2 basically says, do not judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But I continued through verse 5. And so what this is saying is that when Jesus is telling us not to judge, he's not telling us not to identify sin, but we're not to judge others, because that command not to judge others in the 7th chapter is preceded by a comparison to hypocrites in the 6th chapter, and then in verse 3 through 5 is a warning against hypocrisy. So when we point out the sin of others, we ourselves commit the same sin when we condemn ourselves. And the scripture reference for that is Romans 2 and 1. The Passion Version says, no matter who you are, before you judge the wickedness of others, you had better remember this. You are also without excuse, for you too are guilty of the same things. When you judge others and then do the same things they do, you condemn yourself. That's Romans 2 and 1, the Passion Version. We are called to humility, and so we are to speak evil of no one. We are to be very careful when we're judging other people's actions. In fact, we should spend most of the time in judging our own actions before we judge someone else's actions. 1 Samuel says that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And then 1 Corinthians 4 through 5, it's a similar scripture. It says, it is the Lord who judges. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment for the time before the Lord comes. So only God has the right and the power to judge other people's hearts. Proverbs 9:8 tells us not to reprove a scoffer, he will hate you, but reprove a wise man and he will love you. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 says the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. So we do have an obligation to help people, but we have to begin our concerns gently. Now, when it says not to judge, we're not talking about showing discernment, because there is a difference between showing discernment and judging. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we have to test all things. So the difference between judging and using discernment basically is, you know, the motive. We have an obligation to pray for people and try to counsel them. That's discernment. We have to preach the whole counsel of God. We need to eat the whole scroll. We need to teach what the Bible teaches on sin. We need to gently confront our brothers and sisters that may be erring gently. This is everyone's responsibility. But our aim should always be to restore the sinning believer and to honor God. And that's not being judgmental. Our actions should be in love, and we must always speak the truth in love. And so it's like, you know, if we see our own child or a child that's running in front of the car, we're going to do everything we can, you know, to prevent that child from harm. And so it's the same thing in the body of Christ. When we see a brother and sister that's about to basically ruin their life, we have an obligation to do everything we can to warn them. Ezekiel 3, verse 18 says, "When I say to the wicked, you should surely die, and give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same man, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hands." And also like Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verses 6 through 9, which basically says the same thing. And so that's my presentation, or my part of the presentation on non-judgmental. And I believe Sister Winslow, if she's on the line, has the rest of it.
Elder April?
Okay.
Yes.
Before you go any further, can you give us a little bit about your candidate? Tell us something about Sister Winslow, what her aspirations are. You did that was a great job on setting up that passage. But we want to know a little bit about your candidate, and then Sister Winslow to come in and tell us about that particular element as it relates to accountability. But can you tell us
Absolutely.
Who she is, what she does, and that kind of thing? Remember, that's those three things I think we're looking for as well.
Absolutely. My apologies. So my candidate
No problem.
Is,
Thank you.
My candidate is Sister Brenda Winslow, and she is being ordained as a minister of administration. And she currently has been working in the children's ministry and administrative responsibilities at her ministry for 30, 40 plus years. So she is well qualified, I believe, in being ordained as a minister of administration. So Sister Brenda Winslow, Minister Brenda Winslow.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Sister Brenda Winslow. And I have been given the assignment to speak on non-judgmental. First, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this assignment. Thank you for whomever assigned this topic. Lord, help me to be transparent so that I may grow and others may benefit from my growth. Season my words with wisdom and govern my thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Word of God says in Matthew 7, 1 through 4, NIV, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' while at the same time there is a plank in your own eye?" The definition of non-judgmental is someone who does not an opinion. When a person does not express an opinion about the behavior of others and is open-minded and about different people and ideas, this is an example of someone who is described as non-judgmental. Judgmental is just the opposite of non-judgmental. Judgmental can mean being critical, negative, or disapproving. You should do an assessment on yourself as I have done. I examine myself by looking way underneath that left rib and pulling out those critical thoughts. You may say, as I did, I just thought that. Or, this is what I think. Well, a thought to me is just as bad as saying it because it's in your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs issues of life. Or sometimes you say, as I do, this is just my opinion, or this is just how I would do it. Well, nobody really asked you in the first place. I have enough keeping myself in order. Like the old song used to say, sweep around your own front door before you sweep around mine. Let me give you an example of critical thinking. One day, a little boy came to school, all unkempt, face not washed, dirty, his clothes were tattered, and I thought, just thought, that mother should have done better. She could have at least wiped his face off. Well, I got a good rebuking from God. He gave me that mother's mindset at that time. I'm telling you, for a short time, I didn't even have a mind to wash my own face. God let me know, if I don't give you a mind to do or wash your own face, you can't do nothing. God said, so how can you judge and say she should have done this or she should have done that? You see, now you see how it feels. I repented and fell on my face to the floor to God. When I look at the judgmental, as I took the judgmental spirit out, I had to replace it with something, or it would come back and fill that space. So I filled it with love and kind thoughts. This may sound like a rebuke, but it's not. I'm just sharing with you a conversation I had with myself and how this course has caused me to dig deep into my character. This type of soul searching needs to be done on a regular basis, for a judgmental spirit can come back in many forms. It's kind of like roaches. You step on one, believe me, there are more in the woodwork. God is not going to change you, but he can. But he leaves something for you to do. He has a part of showing us our character. That's his job. Now, your job is to pray, fast, bridle your tongue, shut down those thoughts that be not like God. As the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now let us close with a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for this insight into my character. Thank you for an open and willing heart and mind to change. Thank you for showing me my judgmental spirit and replacing it with an encouraging, loving, and compassionate spirit. In Jesus' name I pray and give you thanks. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Are there any questions or comments? Okay.
This is Emerging Elder Kamisha. I just want to say to Minister Winslow, having the pleasure of being in class with her, that was amazing, the way that she presented that. And I believe the Word of God does exactly what it's supposed to do, deal with us first and minister to others second.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that that is a wonderful indication and measure of the maturity and experience that Sister Winslow has, and how working with young people and children give us such a grasp of illustratively presenting God's word to anybody. And so as a result, it is and memorable presentation of non-judgmental. We appreciate you, and I won't even have any questions for you, okay? Huh? Yes, Apostle said that was hot. Okay, I think that's a good thing, too.
Apostle, this is her husband. I think so, too. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I do want to ask, because I want to us to be able to be witnesses and testify to the process that God is sending this class through, and every element of the class do something in your journey. And so I would ask Sister Winslow, what do you feel this has done for you in this journey towards your elevation?
I think along with making me more compassionate to other people and their circumstances, and not rushing to be critical or condemning of how they do things, and realize that this is the way they've done it, because down through the line, down through the years, maybe they weren't taught how to do something, or maybe this is they haven't reached that process yet. So that lets me know that then I need to reach down a hand to be assisting them to reach the process that I'm in. And, again, not being judgmental, but being helpful.
Absolutely. Now, and I want just to share with you, as your accountability, your partner shared, that you were being ordained as an administrator, minister of administration. And part of that gifting is gives leadership and direction. You meet functional needs, and you keep us organized, and you increase our vision. And so often when you say administrator, people think, oh, they're going to write the book or, you know, keep track of the attendance or just, you know, administrative work. But that is not the gift of administration. It is definitely a gift of leadership, and it is surrounded by, and I'm sure, that your supporting gifts are gifts of teaching, because that is one of the functions of the office that you're being ordained in. And so I want us to see all of the elements and how they work together, and how one of the stumbling blocks for administrators is the fact that they sometimes don't understand that other people, if you will, can fill out, you know, can't fill out forms the way they do, can't see the value of a process, you know, because they're just not, you know, they have no administrative gifting. And so it often clashes with those that are spiritual in the functioning of the body, because they are sticking to a procedure. And it seems like it's not being adhered to
and viewing it not as being spiritual when it really is. And so your key was compassion. It's raising that fruit in your ministry and in your mind to be more compassionate so that you will be an administrator that God is perfecting to lead and to patiently prepare people that are in ministry to be more organized, to see the big picture, and to lead them in the, as they shared Sunday, the new upgrade of things. Okay, because an administrator keeps us in the current of things, the current, no matter whether it's technology or what. All right, well, praise the Lord. We want to now go to Elder Deborah. Did you have any more questions for them, the ministry team, on the element of non-judgmental? So now we're going to go into our presentation for your prophetic word. The prophetic word for this year, ordinates, as given to us by the prophet, the call speaking to the Israel in Jacob. And Elder Sherita, who do we have presenting today?
We have candidate pastor Deatra Ford and her accountability partner, Apostle Lisa Brown, and they are going to be presenting on walking, coming from Genesis 31 and 17.
Amen. Amen. Apostle and Pastor?
I'm here. I'm waiting for my apostle.
Okay. Well, you're here. We'll hear from you. We will get we'll get our apostle to give a brief introduction for you.
All right, so we have Pastor Deatra Ford preparing to share. She is a pastor, an evangelist, phenomenal speaker. She oversees Step of Faith. She is a woman of great faith and integrity. She walks in divine health associated with wealth, and that's the all right combo. I've known her at least 25 years, and in the 25 years that I've known her, her character has always been consistent. Her passion for God and his people has done nothing but flourish in the 25 years that I've known her. You see the extension of her ministry in her nursing, in her ministering at the shelters, at the homeless shelters, at the treatment centers. Her generosity is seen every time you see a gift, a basket, her sponsoring someone to do something. And so at the end of the day, as compassionate as she is, as faithful as she is to the anointing of pastor, I believe that that is demonstrated in just her practical everyday walk with God. I believe she is a phenomenal life coach. God has graced her to minister to women in ministry, women on the front line. She is without a doubt the anchor that you can use when you are drowning. She has no problem stepping in and going down so that you can stay afloat. So I present this. I'm going to introduce to others Pastor Deatra R. Ford.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, I'm presenting Walking, Genesis 31:17, and it says, "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And so in order to, like, expound on 17, I have to go back to verse 3 in chapter 31, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." And because Laban became openly hostile to Jacob, God told Jacob to return to Canaan, that he would be with him. And then in verse 7, God suffered Laban not to hurt Jacob. "And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." And then in verse 13, it says, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointed the pillow, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." And so, but then I have to go back to chapter 28 to tell a little more about Jacob. He had a dream at Bethel, and Bethel means house of God. And so after God identifies himself as Abraham and Isaac's God, God confirms to Jacob the Abrahamic covenant and added the promise of his presence wherever he would go. And then on last week, Prophet Michael said, May 18th, he said Jacob had revelation. And then he also said that walking comes with a level of responsibility. And so, and he also said what's happening in you will continue to spread. So my prayer with walking.
When you come, bring me a loaf of bread.
Okay, bye.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
We're here. Hello?
Oh. Okay.
We
okay.
Hear you.
Oh, okay. My prayer is, may I always provide loving guidance when needed. Always speaking the truth in love and only speaking when the time is right. That's my prayer always. Do I do it? No. But that's a continual, that's one of my prayers in my walk with the Lord. The glorious fact about us believers in Christ is we have been showered with God's kindness, chosen for greatness, marked with the Holy Spirit, filled with his power, freed from sin's curse and bondage, as we are brought nearer to God. And I want to expound on how my walk is with the Lord. And so, and I want to start with Ephesians 4:1, and it says, and I'm reading in the Amplified, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to God and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace." And so that is my prayer, that I walk worthy of the call for which I have been called. And to walk is to move at a pace slower than a run, to advance in steps, to move or proceed by placing one foot on the ground before lifting the other one. Walking is also to behave or live in a particular manner. It's one's conduct of life, their moral conduct. It's to lead a life in a straight path for others to follow. It's to tread all around, to go. It signifies the whole round of activities of a believer's life. So we must be faithful to our heavenly calling, remember who called us, what he called us for, and most of all, that we not lose our direction. We have to be straight-footed, going directly forward, focus on God, walking uprightly, doing his thing. Eternity stretches before us. The curtain is about to be lifted. Christ is soon to come. We must be ready when Christ comes. God needs people who will take a stand for what is right. I must lovingly speak for what is true and right. I must imitate Christ, the one who has an obedient heart that is ready to do God's will, not only receive truth gladly, but will earnestly seek for truth as for hidden treasure. I will come to the scriptures with a humble and teachable spirit, seeking to understand how to walk in the light, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ready to sacrifice any and everything in order to be in harmony with the will of God. John 3:3-4 states, John 3:3-4 says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. My mind is to be disciplined, educated, and trained, for I am to do the service for God in ways that are not in harmony with inborn inclination. We have inherited a bad walk. Well, okay. Bad habits that must be overcome. And me too. Okay. Some of the training and education of a lifetime must be discarded. What we learned years ago from grandma, grandpa, and all them other folks, you know, sometimes it's not lining up with the word of God. We must become a learner in the school of Christ. Our hearts must be educated to become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. So, for me, I want to learn daily and receive daily spiritual fervor and power, which has been provided for every believer. I want to keep advancing heavenward. Developing a solid relationship with God. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness that I will be filled. So what type of walk am I not to walk? He does not want me walking around in circles like a dog chasing his tail. He does not want me to walk with my shoulders drooped, head hanging down, whining and moping with every step that I take, like being elevated. He wants me not to walk crippled, keep falling and crying, I can't get up. He wants me not to walk ahead of him, telling him that I can handle this one, I can do this, God. You stand on the sideline. He does not want me walking walking tired, barely making it, making everybody wonder, who am I following? So I want to dedicate myself to be used by God and let him make me more effective. I want God to prepare me to be his sanctuary. Following Jesus will change my life forever, and Jesus lives in me and shows himself to a watching world through me. I must walk in his footsteps. Those that would find Christ must seek him early, seek him diligently, and then seek him in concert. Join with those that are seeking him. How does God want me to walk daily? He wants me to walk uprightly because in Psalm 84:11, he said, no good thing he will withhold from me. He wants me to walk in, he wants my steps to be ordered in his word, Psalm 119, 133. He wants me to let me walk in the light of the Lord, Isaiah 2 and 5. And then he wants me to walk and not faint, Isaiah 40, 31. And in due season, I am going to reap. Just let me keep on walking. In Micah 6, 8, he wants me to walk humbly with him. Romans 8 and 1, he wants me to walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. He wants me to walk in love, to live in the spirit and also to walk in the spirit, Galatians 5, 25. In Colossians 1, 10, he wants me to walk worthy of him. In Colossians 2 and 6, as I receive Christ Jesus the Lord to walk in him. And in Ephesians 5:15, to walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. No, it's not an easy walk, but yes, it is an easy walk, because he leadeth me beside the still water. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I wouldn't fear no evil, for he is with me, walking with me. And when I can't walk, he carries me. As I walk, goodness and mercy follows me. Hallelujah. And so God wants me to have one purpose in mind, to focus on him. He wants the light of him to shine on in me, to be sold out for him. He wants me, my light, to be radiant, to penetrate everyone I meet, to walk confidently with the authority that I have in the name of Jesus. He wants me to walk the talk and to show someone else the way to walk, because someone is always want to follow in our footsteps. I certainly pray that my footsteps are following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And even as walking in my, I know I walk in the office of a pastor. I've been walking it for many years. Didn't need to sign. I've been fighting that, but I'm embracing it. Ooh, I love when that word came forth. I'm beginning to embrace it because of, you know, who I am. I have to still move forward. You know, I got to upgrade. I got to keep pressing on and be all that I can be in Christ Jesus. And that's all I have to say. Amen.
Well, amen and amen. You have definitely given us a picture of your walking, because my question was going to be, what made you walk out? You wrestled for a long time, and you have decided to walk out, and you gave us the perfect explanation for what brought movement into your soul, and it was steeped in the Word of God, and we thank God for that. Very good.
Amen.
Very good. Very good of your journey. And we are the better for it. Praise God. We know we have any questions for Pastor D'Altro? Okay. Questions, comments?
Thank you.
Phenomenal job.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Very thorough. Y'all going to have a two-hour meeting because, you know, y'all really like preaching, apparently. We have a lot of pastors on the line, pastors in this class, and elders, and y'all really like preaching. All right, praise God, praise God, and it's worth it.
Overseer,
yes.
Overseer Paulette.
Yes,
okay. I was trying to stay within my time, and I didn't look at my... How far did I go over? I apologize. because I was looking at. I wanted
it's
to look
okay.
And make sure I didn't go over 5 minutes.
We're all laughing. Yes, you did, but it's okay. 5 minutes.
How many minutes did I go over?
Kind of like 10, but you know what?
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It isn't. That lets you know how easy or just how when it starts flowing. We don't want to stop it. We want it to flow because it becomes a blessing. It's something that's in you. He said, from your heart will flow streams of living water. That's what that is. We receive it. It was rich in the word of God, and that's what we need to color and to, oh, boy, flow in our journey towards this elevation. And so that's a blessing. You do not have to apologize, even though I know we said, you know, 10 minutes for the both of you. Yours wasn't here, so you took her time and such. But it's okay, even though, you know, we'll, you know, Apostle will say when you're asked to do something, you know, you should do, you know, and we're leaders. But we are this is a fellowship. This is our coming together as a fellowship. We're learning about one another. We are learning the new things that are before us, and I'm not going to keep talking because I know that Bishop is on the line, and we ended last week talking about the gifts of the Father and the manifest. We're going to talk this week, I believe, just briefly, bringing it to your forefront of your knowledge as you have did your gift assessments and your summary pages, the gifts of Holy Spirit. Bishop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I wasn't doing the gifts of the Father, was I?
Huh?
You told me to do the pastoral office.
Okay, well, we're going to do the offices next week.
Obviously. Oh, okay.
But we just want to share. Last week we shared the gifts that the Father has given us, and those are motivational gifts. Those are the gifts that just kind of structure to our life. You know, I always was a loud kid, or I always was a quiet kid, or I always was, you know, a leader, or just different things that we always were because it was a part of our DNA. That was the type of personality we had. That was what God had given us it at birth. And then there are gifts that Holy Spirit gives us to manifest the power of God. And those gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're found in, okay, I lost my page, and this is what you guys are supposed to be doing as you filled out your, as you filled out your summary that where these gifts are found. And they would be the gifts that are the ninefold manifestation gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Marlette read for us Romans 12, 3 through 8, which was the gifts of the Father, and 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12 is the gifts of Holy Spirit. Do you have that, Bishop, in one of those versions that are really, you know, out there? But gifts of Holy Spirit.
1 Corinthians 8, right?
1 Corinthians 12 and 8 through 12.
Okay.
And as Bishop is looking them up, those gifts of the Father that we read, basic life purpose, and motivation. This is what motivates you, whether you were in church or not, whether you were saved or not. These are the things that were just part of your DNA. You always was a giver or supporter or teacher, always teaching, always leading, being in administration, always having compassion and mercy. You were the one in the group that would all say, well, no, don't do that. why don't we, you know, bring compassion into a group or a server, always the one that was giving and waiting on other people, trying to help their needs be met, or a perceiver, one who would say, well, you know, I think that maybe we should go over here, you know, which is that gift of prophecy, just the perceiving DNA type of a gift. And so the gifts of Holy Spirit, as in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12, are manifestations, gifts, manifestations of the power of God. You have that scripture, Bishop?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. This is the NIV version, and I'm going to start at actually verse 7.
Okay.
So now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 8 says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Amen. 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 And in your reading at the beginning, he says he gives it for the good of all. He gives it for the good of all. And we need to understand that the good of all is the best thing for anybody, is to see the power of God. That is what would be the best thing. That's the good for all people, to see the power of God and to be able to recognize and know that it is the power of God, as a result being introduced to the power of God, the manifestation gift. And that's the ninefold. And as you do your gift assessment, these combination of things are going to start forming a pattern that we want you to see. And when you look back on your life, you will see that pattern. And the last set of gifts, the ministry gifts, are given by the Son to the body specifically for the edification of the body. And so we'll read about those next week. And they present this fivefold list that is for the body, equipping the body to facilitate and equip the body of Christ, the church. And then the combination of those things and how they will direct you to the calling on your life and give it clarity and give it definition, whereby giving it a scriptural structure that should be a part of your vision and your mission. Because whatever he gives us as a vision will not contradict who he is and the plan that he has presented forth in scripture. And so those are the things we want to see and identify. All right? So as our hour is far spent, we do want to ask, make sure everybody's on speaker. Who we have on the line, I believe, giving it, is Pastor Melvin on the line. Avante. Pastor Melvin. Take your phone off speaker. Pastor Melvin. Avante. All right, then. Bishop, you want to just close us out in prayer?
Sure. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for every opportunity, our Heavenly Father, to gather in your name, O God. We thank you for the preparation process, Heavenly Father, that is going on even now within each and every candidate, our Heavenly Father, and even the accountability partners, our Heavenly Father. O God, we thank you, O God, for the eloquence and the beautiful displays of presentation, Heavenly Father. We thank you for every seed, O God, that is imparted, O God, for each one of the candidates, O God. And God, we thank you for the confidence, O God, that they possess, O God, in being able to plant those seeds, O Heavenly Father. God, thank you for this beautiful expression, O Heavenly Father. O God, continue to watch them throughout the week, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, O God, as they are preparing and getting everything together, O Heavenly Father. It's just coming together, O God, for the good. Oh, God, we thank you for a shield of protection, oh, God, for everybody through this process, from the leadership all the way down to each and every candidate, oh, God. And we thank you for good health in our spirits and our soul and our bodies, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you for putting shield of protection and hedge of protections around us, oh, Heavenly Father, from all hurt, harm, dangers, and even infirmities, oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you, O God, for every door and resource that you are opening even now and releasing on our behalf, O Heavenly Father. And we praise you for it, O God, that you would count us worthy to endure, O God, such affliction, suffering, O Heavenly Father, so therefore we can learn your laws. For those who are traveling, O God, to and fro, give them traveling graces and mercy. Thank you for their families, the Heavenly Father. Thank you for every provision made, O God, to their household. And we bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Amen.
Next week, we are looking to have Brother Antonio Miles and Emerging Pastor Johnny Bond to be the men of God to handle the prayer for our meeting next week. That's Brother Antonio Miles and Brother Emerging Pastor Johnny Bonds. Thank you. Look forward to getting your email of your invitations this week, and we will talk to you next week. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.